Before I start, I'd like to ask you a few questions. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Most of you said Amen with confidence. If I asked you to raise your hand, almost all of you, except for only a few newcomers, would put your hands straight up. The answer is quite obvious to Christians. And it's rather strange for us to say no. In reality, however, it's reported that many Christians did not say yes to the question. A survey conducted in 1984 reveals that around 80% of Christians said they believed in the creation of God. But 8 out of 10 believed the creation of God. But in 2010, but it dropped below 38% in the survey performed in 2010. The rate was cut in more than half in 30 years. The 62.2% of the believing respondents said they believed the theory of evolution. Concerning this phenomenon, people say in churches there's the doctrine of creation, but no belief in it. But what about you? We've experienced the Almighty God who creates things from nothing through senior pastor. The blind came to see, and the lame to walk, and the demon-possessed were set free. Those works not just happened in Jesus' or apostles' times 2,000 years ago, but we've seen such works today. We've also learned how God created the heavens and the earth, the universe, and all things by listening to the messages the senior pastor received from God through his prayer and fasting. That's why you can say yes and amen to my question of whether you believe God the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Here comes the next question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary? This question may remind you of the mystery embedded in the cross. We know the spiritual mystery about why Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and came to the earth in the form of man to save mankind. The next question, you know that. Do you believe that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died? He suffered to redeem us from sin and weakness. To redeem us from the sin that we committed with our hands and feet, his hands and feet were nailed through. He bore all disgrace that we should have borne. What you learned from the message of the cross may be crossing your mind now, and you must be so grateful. Do you also believe Jesus was buried and on the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father? The enemy devil and Satan thought they would win if they put Jesus to death. But by crucifying him who had no sin at all, they violated the spiritual law. Thus, the sinless Jesus was resurrected, ascended into heaven, and became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He achieved a great victory within the providence and plan of God. Next, and do you also believe he will come to judge the quick and the dead? We believe that all mankind will receive the judgment in front of the Lord after human cultivation. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints? Do you believe the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Amen. You said amen to every question regarding faith that come from the Apostles' Creed with joy and confidence. This Apostles' Creed is the summary of Christians' doctrines and the confession of our faith. It was written by apostles around in the 2nd century AD to firm up the faith of Christianity as heresies like Gnostic Christianity appeared. It served as the criteria to identify heresies at the time. We recite this Apostles' Creed every Sunday and in many meetings. If you think over the spiritual meaning, you will feel more deeply touched. Every Christian may memorize it when they start their believing life. It contains the essence of all Christian churches' doctrines. It's basic. Last week, we heard from Pastor Susan Lee that we should gird our loins with truth. She said we have to gird our loins with truth when we have difficulties, especially when we have difficulties. She said truth is the Lord and the Lord is the Word, so the foundation of faith lies in the Word and the Word is the source of faith. Recently, I looked back upon my believing life. What have I believed? What have I worked for? I checked myself based on the Word. Not only did I check my Christian life, but I thought over the Word of God given to Mommin. Based on the Word given by the Father, I thought about what we Mommin have believed and what we've worked for. Meantime, I received so much grace, and today I'd like to share with you the grace. Before getting to the main point, I asked you some questions based on the Apostles' Creed, and I could see you are full of assurance. Christian churches share these essential doctrines, but some differences are found in each denomination. The doctrines that each denomination focuses on are different, or they have different perspectives in interpreting the biblical passages. Today, let's delve into the essential doctrines of United Holiness Church of Jesus Christ, the denomination we belong to. By doing so, I hope you'll feel the love and will of God in them. Before we Mommin Church founded an independent denomination, we belonged to the one that followed the teaching of the fourfold gospel. This perspective views the gospel as having four main tenets: regeneration, sanctification, healing, and second coming. But not long after this church was founded, God told Senior Pastor that we would establish a denomination based on the fivefold gospel. God added that resurrection, which is the important element, was missing. As his appointed time came, we founded an independent denomination and proposed the fivefold gospel that consists of regeneration, sanctification, healing, resurrection, and second coming. Today, I'm going to talk about the first tenet, regeneration. In fact, one may have to be well-versed in Christian theology to preach about the core doctrines of a church, so it could be better for pastors who've served this church for a long time to preach this message. But I don't intend to teach you about the doctrines. I just want to share the grace I received while I thought about and studied them to look back upon my believing life and the faith of Mommin. So please understand me, though it does not sound perfect to you theologically. At the same time, I may use a few difficult theological terms to explain the doctrines. I hope you'll understand this too. Senior Pastor has not preached under this title, but I quoted and referred to his messages, The Message of the Cross and Lectures on John and Genesis. This church's doctrines are published as an appendix in the yearbook. We receive the yearbook at the end of the year, every year. There is an appendix in the yearbook, and there is the doctrine. It starts with the statement that says, we believe the Bible as the Word of the Living God. And the statements number 4 through 9 define each element of fivefold gospel. Statement number 4 says, regeneration. We believe in regeneration by the death of Jesus for the redemption of mankind and his resurrection. We believe in regeneration by the death of Jesus for the redemption of mankind and His resurrection. Regeneration means rebirth, that is, being born again. The word regeneration appears in Titus 3:5. In another version of the Bible, it's expressed as rebirth. The phrase being born again appears in John chapter 3 and 1 Peter 1 as well. Again, regeneration means being born again. This concept of being born again is well explained in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus always had a spiritual thirst for truth. When he saw the power Jesus performed, he thought that Jesus would be able to satisfy his spiritual thirst and came to him secretly by night. He said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." After hearing his good confession, however, Jesus said something unexpected. He didn't say, "You're right," but he said, in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What does it mean to be born again? It doesn't mean one's physical body should die and be born again. But it means their spirits should be regenerated and revived. If there's man consists of spirit, soul, and body, you know it. If their spirits should be regenerated, it means their spirits are dead. God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, he is Adam. Then he said to Adam, "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." But he was tempted by the serpent and committed sin of disobedience to God's command. He ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now that he disobeyed God and obeyed the temptation of sin, he became a sinner. He ended up in death according to the spiritual law that says the wages for sin is death. He died as God had said. First of all, his spirit died. As his spirit died, he became a man of flesh that had only soul and body. Then, his communication with God was severed. Not only did his spirit die, but his physical body made from dust also returned to dust and died as he became a man of flesh. By obeying sin, Adam, who had been a living being, became a sinner, and death came over him. This didn't just happen to Adam and Eve. Romans 5:12 reads, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." All men inherited Adam's blood and were born as sinners. They were all destined to die. Senior pastor said, we inherited sinful natures from our parents. Even children, he talked about, he took the children for example. When a child sees her mother embraces other children, she cries. Even though she has not learned some jealousy, or she has not seen any jealous acts, but she cries. She cries when she sees her mother embrace or kiss other children, other babies. So you know the sinful natures. But God foreknew that all mankind would go the way of death due to Adam's transgression. So even when he planned human cultivation, he had a plan of saving us by his love and grace. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." He planned to save us and give us eternal life through Jesus Christ. He had this plan of salvation in the first place. It was His mystery hidden before the ages. His plan of salvation that was made in God's mysterious wisdom was perfectly accomplished through Jesus' crucifixion. As God planned, our Lord completely obeyed God and saved us from sin and death by His precious blood. If you want to know more on the providence of the cross, you can refer to Senior Pastor's sermon, The Message of the Cross, or Pastor Kyung Ha-ko's messages preached during Friday night service. Now, I'm going to pay more attention to the concept of being born again. Jesus died and paid the price for mankind who were doomed to death as slaves of sin. So anyone who believes the power of His precious blood can be set free from death and reach salvation. In fact, sinners belong to the enemy devil and Satan, but they can be freed from sin and justified by the Lord. They can become freed men. Also, as John 1:12 reads, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. They can even become God's children." If you look more into the process of being born again, you can find three major steps: repentance, faith, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is evidence of our faith in the power of the Lord's precious blood. Repenting is the act of admitting we are sinners. When we admit it and repent of sin, the Lord's blood will cleanse us from all sin. By being cleansed from all sin, we can be justified as the righteous. At this step, we need faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Here, the core concept of regeneration turns up. It is justification by faith. In Christian theology, justification refers to God's act of making a sinner righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. It means mankind can be recognized as righteous by faith in Him. It's what justification by faith means. It's being justified by faith. In other words, it's God's act of declaring us who used to be sinners as righteous. It was used by Martin Luther for the first time, who led the Protestant Reformation, but the original idea came from the Epistle of Apostle Paul. The Epistle to the Romans written by him contains the essence of Christian soteriology. So it's called a diamond in the Bible. He took the case of Abraham for the example as the one who was justified by faith and explained we can be justified not as a result of works, but only by faith. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 states, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." It doesn't mean our works and deeds do not matter as we are once saved by faith. In the early church, some Jewish members claimed that salvation came strictly from adherence to the law of the Old Testament, though they believed Jesus Christ as their Savior. Apostle Paul said this passage to keep the gospel of the Lord from being distorted by those who followed such legalism. He said again in Galatians 2:6, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified." But he also emphasized we can be justified by faith, only by faith, what he meant. But he also emphasized that even saved people must not commit sin because there were Gentile Christians who insisted too much freedom. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It implies we should live a renewed life in Christ. It is true regeneration. To help us live such renewed lives, the Holy Spirit comes into us. Now, let's get back to the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus meant when he said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Now Jesus answered, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water spiritually means the word. Water sustains human life and cleanses us from dirty things. So, being born by water means that we should cleanse our hearts from filthy and dirty evil by the word. Being born again by the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit in us helps us realize sin and gives us grace and strength to live by the word. We need to be born again both by the Word and by the Holy Spirit to receive salvation. Although you have much knowledge on the Word, without the help of the Holy Spirit, you cannot act by the Word. Also, you cannot cleanse you from sin when you have no knowledge on the Word, even if the Holy Spirit wants to help you. That's why Jesus said only when we are born again by the Word and the Holy Spirit can we enter heaven. Thus, we must be born again both by the Word and the Holy Spirit. I told you, repentance, faith, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are essential elements of regeneration. Among them, the most important one is the Holy Spirit's coming into us. It's because He helps us live in the truth. But there's another fundamental and important reason to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When Apostle Paul went to Ephesus, he met some believers. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He meant just believing was not enough, and they should receive the Holy Spirit. When we were sinners, our spirits were dead. When our spirits were dead, we were no more than beasts. But when we repented, we were cleansed from sin and received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit revived our dead spirits. Our spirits that were dead coming back to life is the major step of regeneration. Are your spirits alive now? God also talked about this through Peter. He said in Acts 2:38, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When senior pastor preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, it is the sign of salvation. He said, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we should ask Him to come to us, admit we are sinners, repent of our sins, and above all, we should believe Jesus Christ is our Savior. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are given the right to become God's children, and our names are written in the Book of Life in heaven. Then we can see the Kingdom of God. When I saw the weekly bulletin last week, I saw the message in the Cell Bible study. There is the message about the treasures hidden in the ground. When the farmer found the treasure hidden in the ground, in the field, he felt really joyful. He felt great joy. I believe that you have this joy. You had this joy when you met the Lord for the first time. I was reminded of some experiences of God. I experienced the Holy Spirit when I went to some retreats of another church. And I also met the Lord again in this church. And some people said when they met the Lord for the first time, they felt so good and they felt like they were on the clouds. And Pastor Susan Lee and Pastor Myung Lee, and they were also really happy when they met the Lord for the first time. When I was in college, I experienced the Holy Spirit for the first time. I played my musical instrument, viola, and in college every day. And I took a subway, the line number 3. I think it was Oksu Station. The subway, to cross the bridge, the subway is going on the ground, not under the ground. And I saw some lights from stars and lights from the houses. At the time, I saw crosses of churches, many crosses of the churches. And I shed tears, and tears just welled up when I saw the crosses. And I shed many tears when I saw the crosses of the churches in the city. And I was really happy. And maybe you have that kind of experience. So I hope you will never lose this kind of first love. I'm going to tell you a brief summary of the statements concerning regeneration written in the church's creed. The statements are grouped under the number 4. Section A, justification. When sinners repent and believe the power of Jesus Christ's blood for the redemption, they are forgiven of all sin and justified. When sinners repent and believe the power of Jesus Christ's blood for the redemption, they are forgiven of all sin and justified. Section B, regeneration. It means being born again. By being born again, they are freed from sin, live for spiritual things, overcome sin, and receive a right of adoption as God's sons. Section C, justification and regeneration. The two are different, but they happen simultaneously and are achieved by deeds of faith. In other words, when we are justified, the Holy Spirit can come into us, and by Him we are born again. This process is explained step by step in the creed, and it says these steps take place simultaneously. Section D, sin after regeneration. They must not commit sin after regeneration, but humans are weak and might commit sin. So when they realize they committed sin, they should humbly repent with faith in Jesus Christ. Then they can be forgiven again. Here, some different points of view show up in churches regarding the statement, sin after regeneration. Of course, 1 John 2:1 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Most churches may believe they can be forgiven again by relying on the power of Jesus Christ's blood and repenting when they committed sin. But our church also teaches about sins leading to death that there's no opportunity to repent of. Such sins are written in the Bible. Sins leading to death refer to grave sins that God's children who received the Holy Spirit commit, although they know the truth. 1 John 5:16 reads, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about the case when believers again crucified the Son of God and put him to open shame. Hebrews chapter 10 also mentions the case when believers go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Speaking against and blaspheming against the Holy Spirit written in Matthew chapter 12 are the examples. But when it comes to a warning against the sin, there are some different perspectives from ours. For example, there is predestination. It's a topic that requires a lot of explanation for better understanding, but today I'll give a brief explanation. It claims that saved people never lose salvation. It's based on the belief that salvation is predestined. It is the doctrine that all events, including salvation, have been willed by God. So it says the salvation of the saved is solely caused by God's grace, not some human efforts. Yeah, it sounds right. It's right. As we know, God did have a plan of salvation when He started the human cultivation. And this salvation was achieved through His only begotten Son. So it is all by the grace of God who gave His Son for us. But the predestination went further from this. They believe that God picked those who He will save before the world was created. Those who He will save and those who He will not save. God picked those who He will save and those who He will not save. They said, John Calvin, called the father of Presbyterian Church, firmly established the doctrine. It's also called unconditional elect. Calvin himself said it was a horrible doctrine. This doctrine might be horrible for those who are not picked by God, but still, it's horrible for those who were. If their salvation were predestined, no matter how they believe, they would have no desperate need to be born again by the Word and the Holy Spirit. Of course, some who were thankful for the grace of being chosen might try to live by the word to repay the grace, even if their salvation were predestined. But you know human nature. They might try to live by the word at one point, but might soon change, follow their own benefits, and live by untruth in the work of souls, since they knew they would never lose salvation. But the Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It also urges us not to quench the Spirit. Let's go back to John chapter 3. Jesus told Nicodemus to be born again by water and the Spirit and said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit not just revives our dead spirits, but also helps our spirits grow by giving birth to Spirit in us. By His giving birth to Spirit in us, we can grow spiritually, and this growth process is a believing life. Once you are born again by the Holy Spirit, you should let Him give birth to Spirit in you. This process is related to the second core tenet of this church's doctrines, which is sanctification. What then we should do to let the Holy Spirit give birth to Spirit in us? The answer is in John chapter 6, verse 54. Jesus said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." The flesh of Jesus refers to the Word of God, so we should make the Word bread of our life. And we can digest the Word only when we drink the true drink, the blood of the Son of Man. It means by acting upon the Word by faith, we can have eternal life. As said, salvation leading to eternal life is not completed just by our receiving the Holy Spirit and being born again. Being born again is just the beginning of salvation. The farmer that I talked about, he had no strength when he found the treasure hidden in the field. So he got back to his house and he returned to the field with the money that he got from selling all he had. That is, we need to accomplish perfect salvation by constantly eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man. Salvation is an ongoing process that continues until we meet the Lord. I believe all of you are running diligently to achieve perfect salvation. I thought we who belong to Manmin for long might sometimes forget to give thanks for the fact that we have a specific goal and vision in our faith. Because we had a goal to become God's true children, we haven't become lazy. We've always been spiritually sober in the Word of God. I am so grateful. I hope you will think about how precious the faith, hope, and passion that you have now are. Regeneration is the beginning of You said amen without doubt to my question of your belief in God the Creator. But before I came to this church, I had not believed the creation. I knew I should believe it because I went to church, but I had learned the theory of evolution for 12 years in school, and I had not met a preacher who taught me about God the Creator in detail. So I just tried to believe it in my own ways. And I had never met a preacher who taught me about God the Creator. I just tried to believe it. I kind of mixed the creationism with the theory of evolution. When I heard God created all things for 6 days, I thought 6 days was just metaphorical expression of billions of years. Concerning the creation of man, I thought God may supervise the evolution process of amoeba becoming an ape and an ape becoming a modern human. It was not until I listened to Senior Pastor's message and experienced his powerful works that I demolished those groundless thoughts and came to believe God the Creator. It's not just about the creation. While preparing this message, I realized I know many great mysteries of God, and I even know the things that I might not have thought about on my own. Because of the Word of Life, I came to understand, believe, and love God. I was so thankful once again. I believe you are same. You are the same. And I was reminded of the joy I felt when I met the Lord again in this church 24 years ago. I like the sermon. I like the mystery of the cross. I love to know the heart of the Father who cultivates human. I liked so much the shepherd's message on sanctification. In addition, the works of God recorded in the Bible that had sounded mythical spread out in front of my eyes. A man who was carried on a stretcher stood up. People who could not walk came to walk. Wow, the biblical incidents that I love to read are true, I thought. And I changed my life goal. I fixed my goal not on the earth, but in New Jerusalem. I was so happy even when I didn't eat or even when I was persecuted. I thought I was filled with faith and joy thanks to the Word and the power. But while looking back upon my believing life this time, I realized that there was another reason for my joy. By the time I came to this church, the New Year's prayer titles were given by God. At the time, God gave this passage, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Everything was done just as it says. We were selected as the top 50 churches of the world in its 10th year. Presidential candidates and prominent members from political world wanted to see senior pastor. Christian churches in our country said they couldn't imagine events without Manmin. So many of our members took charge of many duties like ushering and praising there. And Nisi Orchestra was also invited to many events. So I believed if we drew a line graph of glory for Manmin, it would keep going up and up. So I could easily overcome the tests or persecutions personally given to me. I believed great glory would be given to us. However, the graph in God's plan was different from what I expected. It didn't keep going up. As we shed tears and feel pain during the course of human cultivation, the graph in His plan was within the justice of human cultivation. When I thought about the word and the power that allowed me to have faith and the glory that I expected, I came to think that I was like Jesus' disciples before the crucifixion. Before Jesus was crucified, some disciples thought Jesus would become a king in the physical world and wanted to be seated on His right and left hands when His reign came. I thought I was satisfied with spiritual blessings given through the word and the power, but I realized that I also wanted the glory and satisfaction I might enjoy on the earth too, just as the disciples did. I repented that I sought the glory on the earth. Of course, I didn't stop at this point. Now I feel like I can picture the graph that God will draw for us. You know, the ship of Manmin speeded up all the more in high waves and winds. And the greater persecutions came, the greater blessings and glory we received. When Senior Pastor was dismissed from the previous denomination, God let us establish this United Holiness Church of Jesus Christ. When we had difficulties evangelizing our country due to the incident that happened in 1999, God opened the door to overseas crusades in Pakistan and India, where there were many obstacles. God was glorified more greatly. And I imagined the situation. Things seemed to go differently from what I expected when I chose this church and the shepherd. What if God gave me another opportunity to return to the time when it was 24 years ago, when I came to this church for the first time, and asked me what I would choose this time? I would be able to say, I will still choose my loving shepherd and my church. I can say this not only because I trust and love the church and the shepherd, but also because I believe everything going around us is God's sign of His unchanging love to give the very best thing to us. Now, and I also believe God will surely achieve His providence for this church that He established for His glory. So I have no fear and no regret. I confessed this in my parish meeting. An elderly member who registered last year heard it and said he would say the same if God asked him. I was so happy. He said he would choose our church again. And he told me, he asked me to make this confession again when I preach in the service. So I told you about my personal confession here. What would be your choice? This church gave us great joy of salvation through the word of life. Our shepherd gave us hope of life and hope for heaven and guided us to love God and the Lord this much. I hope you will choose this church and our shepherd with no regret.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.